Yeah, we have a large group leaving right now. Romans chapter 8. Wow, cookies, and I see a whole bunch of cookie monsters running after it now. Romans chapter 8. There's some notes someplace if you want them. I don't have a clue where they're at, but if you want them, you can get them. Tonight's message will be short. Tonight's message will be sweet. And tonight's message, everyone look at me, only has one purpose. No matter who you are, no matter how sophisticated you are or not are, that's not even language. No matter how sophisticated you are or how unsophisticated you are, you're going to run into a problem. You're not going to know what to say when you pray. And all I want to do tonight is introduce you to two verses. And by the way, if you've never experienced this, you're either a brand new Christian or you've never prayed. Now stand, Romans chapter 8. It's in your notes. You can read it there. You can read it in your Bibles. Don't really care. And by the way, friend, all of this is in Romans chapter 8. And the primary purpose of Romans chapter 8 is to give us assurance of salvation. But it's not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me kind. It's the assurance of salvation in our actually lived life. So you go through many, many different aspects of this. He has talked a lot about suffering in previous text. And when he gets done talking about suffering, he has some other things to say, Paul does, but he comes to verse 26, and the first word is likewise, meaning he's continuing the same stream of thought, trying to give us assurance in real life. Friend, if all assurance took was 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, write your name in your Bible, no one would ever doubt anything. But life comes at you. And life doesn't always come at you in fair ways. Can we say that? And when life comes at you in those unfair ways, this is when the book of Romans 8 kind of comes into your life a little more. Otherwise, you're still living like you're living like a five-year-old. As long as everything is perfect, then I'm following the Lord. Wow. All right, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, that word is just not the right word today. When you think of infirmities, you think of physical weaknesses. And it means that, but it means so much more than that. So we would probably say weaknesses in general. Infirmity is fine, but you understand if I look at somebody and say, oh, you know, Cliffy's infirm, that's a joke. You know, he's an old geezer. Is he infirm, Judah? Amen. you understand, it doesn't mean that in the King James Bible. It just means you have lots of weaknesses. So likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, plural. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Paul himself includes himself in this. But the Spirit, and we would say today himself, itself is proper grammatically, not proper theologically. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The first part of verse 27, I don't know that I'm going to explain altogether, because I just want you to be introduced to these two verses, but we'll read it. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's very debatable, some of that. But here's what really helps us with prayer. Because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So no matter what else is going on, the Spirit of God is making intercession for us according to the will of God. So I have entitled this tonight, When You Just Don't Know What to Say. And friend, this is all disciplines of grace. This is kind of a weird one because I'm not going to tell you to do anything except one thing. The whole sermon can be summarized in this statement. Just keep on praying. Because you're going to run into cases where you just don't have language. If Paul ran out of language, you're going to run out of language. You're not always going to know what to pray for, and you're going to get locked in certain circumstances. So that's our sermon tonight. That's the idea. And we've already talked about basic ideas of praying. I want to narrow in on, don't stop. Keep on praying. Father, help me as we look at this text. May this be helpful tonight and a blessing to all the folks. Simple ideas. Nothing here, in one sense, nothing profound, but in another sense, we can totally crash and burn by not knowing that we don't have to know everything. Help us, I ask, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I believe we've all been there. It's many years ago now. I'm going to guess 30 years ago. It has to be 30-ish. I was pastoring in St. Louis area, which was about 75 miles from where I grew up. My mom, I'm sure it was my mom or my dad, one of the two, called us and told us that my dad's younger sister's husband, we called him Uncle Bill. He was really her third husband, but Uncle Bill's the only one I ever knew. Uncle Bill had died. So they wanted us to come to the funeral. So, well, of course, it was much closer than where my parents lived, where Uncle Bill lived. So, and oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, Uncle Bill was a pagan. Never been in church. As far as I know, had never had any connection to any form of Christianity in my lifetime up to that point. My greatest fear, can anybody tell you what my greatest fear was? We're a small crowd. What would my greatest fear be when he died? They would ask me to do the funeral. What do you say when you know your uncle's unsaved? You know this. I mean, I'm not saying he was an evil guy. I mean, he just never had any connection to anything that I knew of. Well, fortunately, he had in the broader family on his side, there was a liberal, and I mean liberal, guy that preaches everybody into heaven. Of course, heaven's not a real place to him. And that guy did the funeral. So I go to the funeral. Jenny, you're with me. I don't know if you remember going to Uncle Bill's funeral. I remember it vaguely. I remember going. We got there. Walked in. Not mad at anybody. These are people, my family, people I love. My cousins, Aunt Bessie and Uncle Bill's children, they're out someplace in the parking lot drinking. Because how do you deal with death? See, it's one thing to be really cool, and it's one thing to blow all this off. But, you know, Dad's in there dead. So what do? You drink. And my cousins, people I like, and I like to this day very much, they're out in the parking lot drinking, and they're coughing back hard stuff, you know, the hard liquor to get the buzz. They're drinking for the purpose of not passing out, but not being able to feel anything. Go in. I don't know what we did, Jenny. I know we sat by, maybe we sat with Mom. I don't remember. We talked for a while, and I remember seeing Aunt Bessie up by herself. Here's my aunt. All the family members, she has three children. He had two daughters. All of them are in the parking lot drinking, and my aunt's up there with Uncle Bill's body all by herself. She's broken down. She's crying. And I think, well, and by the way, this is your, Brian, welcome to the pastorate. This is your job. Going to people when you have nothing to say and being with them. And by the way, and when you have nothing to say, I got a question for you. What do you say when you have nothing to say? Nothing. I went forward. I knew it was my job. And you say, why is it your job? Well, that's just what jobs I get. I went forward. I stood by Aunt Bessie. I remember putting my arm around her. She was there. Uncle Bill. Now remember, never been in church as far as I know of any kind. Not in my lifetime. He wasn't evil. He wasn't an axe murderer. He was just an unsaved guy. She had put little angel pins in his lapels. Little angel pins. Aunt Bessie is sitting there rubbing those angel pins. That's all the hope she had. I still remember the event because it reminds me of this text. Standing there, she's crying. I weep with her. I hug her like this, side hug. I talk to Aunt Bessie. I just stood there with her for a long time. And I know other people came through, but do you know what most people say? How are you doing? Do you realize, I've heard people in our church say this to people. How are you doing at a funeral? Well, how do you expect I'm doing? I'm doing great. Stood there with Aunt Bessie, and it reminds me of this text because this is what I found. I didn't have any good words to say. I wasn't going to lie to her. Would you? Would you say, oh, yeah, Uncle Bill's in heaven. He's smoking cigarettes. By the way, Uncle Bill had one claim to fame. You know what? Jenny knows exactly what it is. You heard him say it. He'd come out to the farm where I grew up. He would say to everybody, he smoked 3 or 4 packs a day. He said, I'm going to smoke until the day I die. If I get cancer, I'm still going to smoke. Look me in the eyes. He died of lung cancer. He smoked the last day of his life. That was his claim to fame. I'm not mad at him. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart more than Aunt Bessie was there all alone. But the worst part was I had nothing to say. All I could do was show her that her nephew loved her, cared for her pain. That's it. In your notes, under the verse. Prayer is not different than life, since prayer is life. Prayer is not religion, folks, going through the checkboxes. Prayer is life itself. And sometimes, and I want to say, this is the reason I'm preaching this, problems may feel too big, too complicated, too messy, too hopeless. Somebody's too dug in and they're just too hard. And because of this, the natural tendency, friend, not all of us are the same personality, but some of us are the personality, if we see a problem, we got to fix it. But what if you don't have any ability to fix it? Does that mean you just give up? And a lot of people just quit. They don't know how to fix it. They don't have a magic formula to get God's attention to transform something, so they just quit praying. Well, Paul is going to teach us the opposite. Now, folks, there's nothing deep here tonight. This is real introductory, because I'm only going to teach you one idea. When you don't have the words, keep on praying. The Holy Spirit is there to aid and assist. You say, what does that mean? You're missing the point. You're not supposed to know what that means. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and aids you in prayer, whether you understand it or don't understand it. Keep on praying. In your notes, based on the finished work of Christ, the Holy Spirit makes prayer possible. For through Him, through Christ, we both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Romans 8:15 for time. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again. That's what it was before salvation. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we, all of God's people, cry, Abba, Father. We're able, because of we've been adopted into His family, by means of the Holy Spirit, to cry out unto God. Galatians is similar, but it's not the same. Romans says this, friend, when we go to prayer because we've been adopted into God's family, we can cry out to God, Father, Father. Galatians has a twist on it. Read with me. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We're pretty much the same place. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And here it's not us crying, it's the Holy Spirit crying, Abba, Father. Which leads us, obviously, to the next idea. Not only does the Holy Spirit make prayer possible, the Holy Spirit also helps us when we pray. How many times... Let me ask you, are you concerned about our country? How do you pray? Seriously, I don't know. Right now, I see so many problems and so much chaos, I don't see an easy solution. You know, I think to myself, this is just talking. If Trump wins, we're going to have 4 more years of hatred. If Biden wins, we're going to fall into worse chaos. I really don't see a solution on the horizon. I feel as helpless as I've ever felt. I mean, yes, I believe certain policies would give more people freedom. Jobs would be a nice thing for people. But we're not going to have jobs in a liberal democratic economy, friends. They crush jobs. Don't you remember Amazon coming to New York, which didn't come to New York? Why? Because they were going to tax it out of existence. You know, you can't tax a business out of existence. You can't unionize a business out of existence. You can. You can destroy business, and that's happened. I don't know. I really don't. But I know who knows. Do you? Do you know the Holy Spirit helps you when you pray? So you say, Pastor Warren, I don't know. That's the point I'm making. You don't have to know everything. Read with me. The Holy Spirit also helps us. Not only makes prayer possible, but helps us when we pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helps, and I'm just going to make this modern English, helps our infirmities. He even says, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The latter part of verse 27, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yes. John chapter 14, Jesus has not even been crucified, but he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit after his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension to the Father. The Holy Spirit will be poured out. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another means this, friend. Look here, someone just like me. Got that? I'm going to send you someone just like me. Now, can you imagine you're with Jesus for 3 years, everything is good. All of a sudden, the person you believe to be the Messiah is dead. You have no hope, but he rises again, and then you're shocked. But later on, you're thinking, but he ascends back to the Father. What happens? And then those statements that he made, oh, by the way, I'm going to send you someone else just like me, another comforter specifically of the same kind. Oh, let's keep reading. That he may abide with you for how long? How long did Jesus abide with them? Three and a half years. How long does the Holy Spirit abide with you? Forever. Yes. He goes on to say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I love the next phrase. It's a different word in Greek. It's not that word parakletos. It is the word for orphan, orphanus. He says, I'm not going to leave you like a bunch of orphans without hope. I'm not just, when I go and die on the cross, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will come to you. How so? In the other comforter, the third person of the Godhead. So friends, the Holy Spirit makes prayer possible. He also helps us when we pray. He comes alongside us. He helps us. He builds us up. He strengthens us. He encourages us. He prays in ways that we don't understand. So when it comes to prayer and you say, Pastor, I don't even know what to pray. We think about our country, but I can think about families. There are families in our church that I don't know where to begin. Look at me in the eyes. If a young person does something stupid, you two young ladies are perfect. You're never going to do stupid. I need to hear an amen on that, Dad. Young lady, young man can make a mistake. It can be very painful. It might even be embarrassing. But you know what? You can get back on the path. Some folks have made sin after sin after sin after sin for three decades. I don't know how to refix this stuff. But I do know somebody who does. So when I go to pray, sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, where do I begin? And the answer isn't, I have a certain path, Lord. This is what I need you to do for me. That's the nonsense of American culture. No, I don't know what I need to happen, Lord. I can't even imagine what would fix this. But I know you're capable of doing it by your grace. That's what it means. Number three, the Holy Spirit specifically, and I love this, helps our weaknesses. Helps our weaknesses. Isn't that nice? Do you have weaknesses? By the way, even if you're just reading the King James, and that's fine, notice carefully in your notes, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, but it's plural. Yes? It is assuming that all Christians have weaknesses of various and sundry kinds. This morning, I don't know who it was. There's a very nice lady in this church that made this for me. Anybody want to guess? Is it a nice color? Somebody said, I really like that color. And I said, yeah, me too. What color is it? It's a bluish purple. The problem is it could be blue, it could be purple. I don't know the difference. Now look at me, friend. I know my weaknesses like that. Do you? Do you know what? The Holy Spirit comes alongside and he helps our what? Do you have weaknesses in prayer? Let me ask you, do you think the Lord is surprised by you? He just doesn't have a, man, where did she come from? Wow. No, we all have weaknesses. Mine is my physical limitation is I don't see colors. I wish I did. I hear people describe things sometimes. You know, they go out and say, did you see my wife, she's usually nice. Except when she describes this, did you see that sunset? And I'm thinking, yeah. Are you ready? It was a sunset. She said, did you see? No. In your notes, let's read this passage together. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Asthenia is the Greek word for weakness. It could mean a bodily weakness, but it could also mean any kind of limitation. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In your notes, I say this. Weaknesses or infirmities are simply things like this. We are human. Is that true? Let me ask you, if you don't get any sleep, do you get cranky? Cliff, Judah tells me you're cranky all the time, so I don't know if that has anything to do with sleep. Friend, you know, we're human. Is that correct? Just by being human, we are limited. I mean, how many times, I shouldn't confess these kind of sins. If I was a good fire-breathing Southern preacher, you know, I walk on water. But I have to tell the truth. I'm a country boy, so truth-telling is more important. How many times have you fallen asleep while praying? And you wake up and you think, Lord, I'm sorry, I fell right to sleep. Hopefully you didn't drool on your Bible. That's the only thing I hope. We're human. Not only are we human, at least the last time I checked, we are fallen humans. Is that correct? You say, I don't know what that means. That means, friend, I don't care if you've been saved for 100 years, which none of us have. Even though you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you still have the remnants of the fall, and you have this thing called propensities towards sin. But the Holy Spirit helps our what? Weaknesses. Comes alongside. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to pray, and I feel like I don't pray. And it's like, just keep on praying. The Holy Spirit makes prayer possible. The Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. He specifically helps us with our weaknesses. Next page. We are so finite. Wow, we are finite. Right before church, not many of you were here. By the way, I'm not going to yell and scream tonight. I'm just calm and collected. I did all the loudness this morning. Somebody said I was loud. You haven't seen me loud like I was in that place yesterday. I remember, right before church, strangely enough, John did not know we were back on Sunday night church, so he drove up here to see his mother. Did he get to see you for 30 minutes or so, he and the kids? So Tiffany, John, and the three boys were up here just to see Jenny for a few minutes because most churches aren't open on Sunday nights. You know, are you all listening? My dad was a big macho type. We have him in this church, Bugsy. When I was younger, I felt macho. You look me in the eyes. The last day of my dad's life, a Saturday, my son had to pick my dad up and put him in bed. I don't care who you are. You're human. and you have sinful proclivities, and you are so finite. But that's not a reason for you not to pray, because the Holy Spirit helps us, and He specifically helps us with our, what? Weaknesses. The next line is a Pastor Warren, and it is pretty clever, I think, but it's very true. We are limited in unlimited ways. If I was to tell you how limited we are, I couldn't spend the night. We are so limited. Oh, my goodness. So limited. All of us. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit makes prayer possible. He helps us when we pray. He helps even our very weaknesses. And the whole point of this, friend, is to pray and to keep on praying and pray anyway. And you say, Pastor Warren, and I want to say this to everybody, I used to fall into this ditch. I used to think in order to really, really pray, two things had to happen. Did any of you grow up this way? One thing was you had to use certain kind of fancy language. Because there was a guy in my home church that had the best language. I can't even mimic it. When he prayed, and I don't think he was faking it, he just had a real way of, you know, our Heavenly Father, the Father of Jeroboam, Rehoboam, you know, he just went down the line of stuff. And I thought when you really, really prayed, you had to do that. My second problem, I used to think you had to feel a certain way to pray. Have you ever gone to pray by yourself? And when you got there, you thought you were in heaven? My answer is yes. But for every one of those, I have 10 that I don't feel anything. When should you pray? You see, that's the whole point. The Holy Spirit helps our what? Our weaknesses. Just pray. Don't worry about, oh my goodness, Pastor Warren, I just don't feel it. It's like, where did you read in the Bible you're supposed to feel it? You're supposed to pray. Actually, if I read this verse correctly, it seems like a lot of times when we go to the Lord in prayer and to our secret places, we're not going to feel it. But you pray anyhow because the Holy Spirit's there helping. Well, number four, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't have the words. When we don't have the words. Verse 26 says, the latter part, but the Spirit will say Himself. Understand, folks, in Greek, Spirit is neuter, is neutral. Neuter? Neuter. Tim? Masculine, the feminine, neuter. My mind is drawing a total blank on Greek grammar. So therefore, pneuma is a neuter word, but as a person, the Holy Spirit's not an it. So the King James translated grammatically correct, but theologically wrong, if that makes sense. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with what? Groanings which cannot be uttered. This is not talking about speaking in tongues. And in one sense, it's talking about what the Holy Spirit does, but in another sense, it's talking about we come before the Lord, and as I say, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't have the words. So, you're asked to come alongside someone. The person is suffering. You don't have anything clever to say. Oh, please, don't quote Romans 8:28 when somebody's suffering. Silence! Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with them who rejoice. Don't be Job's three buddies. You don't need friends like that. No one does. Galatians 4. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Not only do we have this, but the Spirit Himself cries, Abba, Father. Ephesians says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But this is not magic. It's simply saying we come to the Lord, and it's not my two big problems. I thought I had to feel a certain way. I thought I had to have certain kinds of words. And there's certain people that sound so good in church. By the way, some of you don't even recognize it. We don't do that here. Most people in this church, when they pray, I think, properly. But there's a whole subculture when people pray, you're kind of like, wow, they must be quoting poetry. Who are you quoting poetry to? Prayer is you pouring your heart out to God. Here's my recommendation. Just keep praying. Don't worry about anything else. Yeah, let's look at these statements. I believe more often than not. Do you understand that statement? So if this is 50%, 50% of the time you don't know what to say, 50% of the time you do, I believe there's going to be a bigger than 50%. I think more often than not, you're really not going to have the words. So I say this in your notes. More often than not, we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray for. Things are too messy, too messed up. And friend, that's in your life. That can be in your family. That can be in your friends. I'm a pastor of a church, people that I love. Most of the people in this room and in our church, I think, are on the broad path, going the right direction. But there's folks that I'm so concerned for, I don't even know what to say. I do not know what to pray for. Hey, do I pray for a crisis in their life? Answer the question. Let me ask you, if you're a Christian, does God chastise you? But that's assuming. Thank you. It's assuming you're a Christian. So if I pray for God to chastise somebody, but and a lot of folks say they're a Christian, my problem is, what if they get chastised and they don't get reproved? That demonstrates what? Not a Christian. Sometimes you just, I don't know what to pray for. Should I pray for them to have a great year? Should I pray for them to have problems? Should I pray for God to show up in their living room and living? I don't know. Next. I've said this, and I've been quoting this to myself for 2 weeks. We don't have the words. And friend, I'm not a poetic person. I have a vocabulary too large from reading too much, but I don't have the words lots of times. I don't know what to say to the Lord, don't know how to say it. And can I tell you what? That's okay. The Lord's not looking. Oh my goodness, I'm going to answer your prayer. You have beautiful words. Seriously? Why do you think the Lord usually uses a child as an example? Because a child is simple. We want to, but I've always been caught up with words and feeling a certain way. And the Lord's not interested in either one of them. Let me give you these statements again. We don't know what to pray for. We don't have the words. We can only, maybe it's this, we can only moan and groan. Have you gone to the Lord and you moaned and groaned? In your notes, lastly, in this section, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. You see, I want you tonight, hey, I want you tonight to do two things, really. Look. I want you to know this text, and I want you to keep on praying. I want you to know no matter what, no matter how you feel, no matter if you have the words, no matter if you say, I don't know what I should pray for, none of that matters. Because when we come to God, we come to God as a little child, knowing that our Father, which is in heaven, wants to give us good gifts. Do we know that? And because of that, the Holy Spirit comes alongside. He helps us. He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us when we don't have the words. So look at me. Just get over all that stuff and keep on praying. I would recommend this, though it's hard for some of us, and me at times. Would you just stop asking yourself how you feel? Have you found any place in the Bible that encouraged you to say, how do I feel today? And then people that do that go around and tell other people how they feel. I'm not sure feeling has anything to do with anything. Let me give you two examples and we'll go to the last point. Simple examples. The worst night of my life, which was in 87, worst, 86 or 87, I forget now. The worst night of my life, I couldn't pray at all. I felt like there was like iron right above my head. and nothing was rising higher than the car, the roof of the car. Does that mean God wasn't hearing? That's how I felt. I think we confuse how we feel and then we quit praying. That's the first thing I would tell you, friend. I would also tell you this. I used to be into the feelings because I grew up on some nonsense that was taught in our kind of circles that you're supposed to have certain kinds of experiences, and I thought you were supposed to have those. And then you get to the place where the Bible just doesn't. Do you realize the Bible doesn't even tell you anything about how this feels? You go to the Lord, you get on your knees or wherever you pray, maybe you pray walking, and you're praying before the Lord and you don't feel it and you don't have the words, and the Bible simply says, you know what, just keep on praying. Holy Spirit's going to help you. Holy Spirit's going to intercede for you. Holy Spirit's going to intercede for you and help your weaknesses and all of your limitations. The Holy Spirit can interpret your groans and moans. That's all that's important. Simple as that. Number five, the Holy Spirit intercedes according to what? Read the last two verses first, would you please? And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. But friend, what is the problem? We don't always know what? We don't always know His will. So here you are, Pastor Warren, should I pray for so and so, such and such? Forget it! Know this. The Holy Spirit makes prayer possible based on Christ's death. The Holy Spirit helps us. He specifically helps our infirmities. He intercedes for us when we don't have the words. And it's not my job, look at me, friend, to do this. Let me get my magic wand or let me get my... Do you all know what a water witch is? I'm introducing craziness. My grandfather was a water witch. You know what that is? He could find water any place, so that he would be hired to find water. I'm serious. A city had him find water down where I'm from. Weird. They use certain, and I have no idea. It works somehow physically, Pam. I'm sure it's a physics thing, but I don't know what it is. All I know is Grandpa could find water. By the way, friends, you don't have to say, well, where's the will? Forget that nonsense. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. You pray. You beg God. You ask God. The Holy Spirit can pray according to the will of God. He can take care of the part that you can't take care of. Now, let's read the verse and be done for the night. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because he maketh intercession. He, the Holy Spirit, for the saints, and who are saints in this room? All believers, according to the what? So here we are, and let me look for the will of God. Where did it get lost? It must be hiding under the platform. Get over that stuff. Pray. Keep on praying. Regardless of how you feel, regardless if you have the words, regardless if you know exactly how God's going to work this out, just learn to keep on praying. And you know what? The Holy Spirit can do that which you cannot do when you don't have the words, when you don't have the knowledge, and you don't know God's will. The Holy Spirit knows all three. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Bless it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.